Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome again to the Project 223 podcast. Coming from the Eagle's Nest in the Pacific Northwest. Opening up with a little striper. No rest for the wicked. So excited to be with you again here. I always love joining you guys, spreading some words of wisdom and knowledge, sharing a little bit of my experience that I've gained and things that I've learned and studying and training. And if I can pass on some nuggets of knowledge and wisdom to you, well, that makes me happy. June 2023, our podcast today, Three Secrets to Win the Mental Game in Preparedness, discussing ways your mindset can affect your survival in an SHTF scenario. It's really important to have a good mindset. We're going to talk about some foundational wisdom that can help you as a preparedness-minded individual and member of a mutual assistance group or neighborhood protection team, whatever you call your tribe, your group of people that you hang out with and fellowship with and prepare with. So opening up from the Bible, where the ultimate wisdom is found, Proverbs 1:5 says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." We want guidance ultimately from the Lord God Almighty and His Holy Spirit in our lives. And we get also guidance through the experiences that He's shared with other people as well. So hopefully we'll be able to share some good experience with you today. Do you want to be seen as a valuable member to have as a friend or on a team? I know everybody does. People judge each other, and especially we judge people in our circle of influence, the people around us. And you want people that see you and interact with you to think of you as somebody that's wise and that's able to function well when times get tough. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today, some ways that you can improve your mental thought process, your the way that you function under stress in times of trouble, and overall, general, as a good person. These concepts work well with your family. They'll work well in your business. If you're a leader in a company or a manager of people, these concepts will help you greatly as well. And then just generally in life, how to get along with people, how to be a good person, to give glory to God with the way that you live your life, and to be somebody that people look to as a person who is wise and somebody they want to be in their circle of friends. So self-awareness is what we're talking about. We want to be self-aware. We want to have the ability to kind of get a grasp on how we come across to other people. Do I come across as annoying sometimes? Do I talk too much? Well, on a podcast, you have to, or people will just turn it off. But when I'm with friends, am I the one that's constantly talking, or do I listen? Do I hear what they're trying to say and allow other people to share and be a part of the conversation? That's very important, and my wife's really good at that, and she's helped me over the years to become better at actually listening to other people, hearing what they're saying, and making them feel valuable in the conversation, in the relationship. Self-awareness is important. The first of the three secrets of winning the mental game and preparedness. This is the simple one. It's as simple as ABC. Now, if you ask any of my kids what ABC means, they'll be able to rattle it off really quickly. And I'm not talking about airway, breathing, circulation, but the one I like to talk about first and foremost is always be calm. When you panic in a problem or trouble, trial situation, you will not be able to solve a problem well. I can assure you this. What I see a lot in my life is that when people experience something outside of their normal existence, that they can start to panic. We talk about this a lot. It's called normalcy bias, and that's the bias that we have towards everything being normal, the way they were yesterday. They'll be that way today, and they'll be that way tomorrow. So when we experience something like flipping the light switch and it doesn't come on, sometimes we may panic or think, uh-oh, what do I do? And it's hard to think outside the box in those situations. This also comes from this problem of panicking when something goes wrong is due to lack of training or experience. If you don't have a lot of experience with doing CPR, the first time you see somebody collapse in front of you, you might start to panic a little bit. What do I do? You've never really experienced this thing before. Or you haven't been trained in how to react to that situation. So lack of training and experience can cause panic in disaster or emergency situations. There's for people that see a situation like that and have a panic, they don't have a reference to fall back on for that particular situation. One of my mentors in the fire service had taught me about a thing called RPD, Recognition Primed Decision Making. And this was a study that was done by a gentleman, I believe his name was Gary Klein, and he wrote a book also, but it talked about basing our decisions on referencing past experiences. And it was a study done with firefighters, and they went and looked, and he was trying to figure out how they made decisions in tough situations. And kind of the theory was is that they would think in their minds of, you know, here I have plan A, B, or C, and they would go through their minds and pick which one they liked the best. But they decided that that wasn't it at all, that what happened is when somebody saw an emergency situation, they would go back. It's kind of like you have a little card deck in your mind. And every time you experience a situation or are trained in a situation, that experience gets logged down in that card deck, in that file in your mind. When that situation comes up again, your brain automatically goes there, pulls that card out and says, hey, I've seen this in the past. This is the actions that I took and that caused success. It will reference that past experience and help you decide, you know, how you're going to make the decisions for the thing you're experiencing at that point in time. So RPD, something is very important. Without that card deck, without those experiences to look back on, it's hard to find something to use to assist us in making a decision. So that's why it's really important to remain calm in situations. If you don't have that experience, being calm helps you not to panic and can help you slow down so that you can start thinking about what's the action that you need to take. Training is very important in this reason, because in areas you might find yourself in the future, whether that's without rule of law, a grid down situation, or no services being available, those different types of situations you may find yourself in, if you've already thought those things out and made decisions on how you're going to react, that will help you when that time comes. That's one reason why I enjoy reading prepper fiction novels, is that it lays out a whole bunch of different scenarios. The more books you read, the more authors' opinions you get on what could happen. And then you see how the people in the books react and what they do. And you can kind of think about, well, what would really happen if there was no power and the people on the highway whose cars break down were stuck in your town? Well, how would you take care of those people? Would they be a problem? What would be one way that you could help deal with that situation? So it's interesting to use preparedness fiction novels, post-apocalyptic novels, to aid in your training experience. I've had lots of different experiences as a firefighter, all the way from medical rescue type situations and even dealing with people in emotional panic situations. I've realized that calming people down is the first step to helping them. A lot of times we'll have a husband or a wife that's having a medical emergency and the other spouse is panicking. This panic doesn't help us as responders in dealing with the emergency. I'll look at that person often and say, the best thing that you can do for your loved one is to be calm, and that will help them and it'll allow us to do our jobs. So I've found often that by explaining that to somebody, it sometimes can help them be calm, understanding that they can help solve the problem by not panicking. Rarely, in my experience as a firefighter, we go on a lot of calls, and I can't think of too many situations where if I get excited and panic and rush, that it really helps things. Even in a fire situation where every second counts, whether or not we can get water on the flames, maybe somebody's inside laying down on the ground and the smoke is enveloping them, we will move quickly, but we won't rush in a panic because we want to make sure that we're taking the right steps. We don't want to trip and fall and get hurt, and we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing for the situation. So you'll see a lot of times first responders that seem overly calm, you're kind of thinking, why aren't they rushing in there? Why aren't they acting more excited? It's because they have the experience with the situation and they realize that they need to take certain actions. And by panicking, it's not going to help the situation. Also, my career on nuclear submarines in the Navy, I've had a lot of training dealing with emergencies. when you're at 1,300 feet underwater, you need to be calm and not panic should there be a problem. We would have lots of drills where we would do flooding in the engine room, a steam line rupture, fire, all kinds of different things that can happen on the engine room of a nuclear submarine. As a watchstander, we would be required to memorize these different immediate actions. And then the procedure was, say, for example, there was a fire in the engine room. Well, there would be certain equipment that you would shut down, certain things that you would do immediately. And then once those actions were done, you would pull out the manual, you would open it up to that page, and then you would read down the list of the things that you were supposed to do. The important thing about this was is that you knew what to do quickly, but then you would also reference to make sure you didn't miss anything important. Even pilots use checklists when they fly. At the fire department, we have first aid checklists. When we have a person who's having an anaphylactic shock or a CPR call, we will do the immediate actions, and then we'll pull out the book afterwards and make sure that we've done everything and we didn't miss anything. So by training and by learning these things and having reference materials, you also can have information that you could refer to in emergencies. It's also important to avoid tunnel vision. When you are in an emergency or disaster, you want to keep situational awareness. So if you panic, it's easy to get tunnel vision. By being calm, always being calm, you're able to step back, look around you, see all the things that are happening, and that's called keeping situational awareness. Tunnel vision is where you focus in so directly on one specific thing that it's hard for you to see the other things around you, and that can be a problem. What I always tell people is when they're in a stressful situation or they're having a problem with their panic, I tell them to stop, take a deep breath, and then take the actions that they have. That short, quick breath is sometimes enough to stop you from getting into that rolling panic mode and can allow you to be calm in the situation. When you panic, you breed panic in other people. For example, on the radio as a firefighter, when we're arriving on the scene of a burning building, there's a big difference between the fire captain that pulls up and you hear in his voice panic and excitement. His voice is amplified. He's talking quickly. It's hard to understand him. All the other fire engines, aid cars, and medic units that are coming into that scene are affected by the voice of that initial arriving officer. And it starts to ramp other people up. Is something really bad going on? Is this something unusual that we're seeing? Or is this the typical house fire that everybody sees? So you want to have a nice, calm voice when you're on the radio or when you're dealing with people in an emergency. By having an amplified tone, it sets everybody else on edge a little bit. You can tell in the military or first responders, you can tell the pros from the rookies. The guys with a calm voice sound like they've been there and done that before. It's not the first day on the job, and that can inspire confidence in everybody else around you and help them to remain calm as well. Another process description when making decisions that you need to think about is called the OODA loop, O-O-D-A. At a high level, the steps of this process are to observe, orient, decide, and act. So the observe part, gaining situational awareness using all your senses. Orient, now you contextualize what you observe based on all the information that you know. We talked about that before using our RPD, our card deck, right? Have we seen this situation before? What can we do that will change the outcome here? And then the D, decide. Formulate the optimal course of action based on that card deck, based on that previous experience or that training. And then you just, after you've decided, then you act. Execute on your decision without delay. Once you've done that, it's going to repeat itself. So you take your action, and now you're right back to the beginning again of observing. This whole OODA loop process, if you think about it, can help you to always be calm and not panic. Observe the situation. Orient yourself based on the information that you're getting. Decide what you're going to do and then act. And then repeat the process. It's a constant reevaluation. And it allows for flexibility and the ability to adapt quickly to new information and developments. Whatever method you use to gather information and act, remaining calm is the key to performing well in a stressful situation. So remember, whenever that feeling of panic rises up, your voice starts to get amplified, you feel that nervousness in your belly, the adrenaline dump hits, remember the bald eagle telling you, ABC, always be calm. Number two secret to winning the mental game in preparedness has to do with leadership. When times get tough, in disasters or emergencies, as a trained and prepared individual, you may be the one that needs to step up and lead in a situation. By having training, by being someone who seeks out information and knowledge, like listening to this podcast, you may be the most qualified person to lead your neighborhood, your family, or your community in a tough situation. And so, being in that leadership role, something important to think about, and I call it IMS, inspire, motivate, and support. This was another nugget I learned early on in the fire service when becoming a captain and being put into position of leadership. It's important to remember IMS. First off on IMS, inspire. Everyone has a circle of influence in their life. You may not think so, but you have people that look to you and see the example that you set. They see the way that you act. Do you inspire them by your actions and your deeds? Okay, you want to concentrate your efforts on affecting the people that are in your circle, the people that you actually have the ability to affect. Don't stress out about things outside of your control. Many people are worried about national issues and national problems and want to join some group on a national scale where they can try to make a change. I understand that feeling and that emotion, and that's important. But there are not a lot of solutions on a national level where you can really make a difference at this point. We're going to do the best we can to help as we need to. But the best thing that you can do as a preparedness-minded individual that's not somebody in government or in a civic leader position is to concentrate the efforts on those people in your circle. Even if you're a single person and you work on the computer online, there are still people that you interact with on a daily basis, whether that be the clerk at the grocery store, somebody at the gas station, or the UPS guy even. At work, you may have managers that you work for, customers internally or externally, and support people that you deal with. You want to be the kind of person that lives their life in a way that makes those people encouraged and inspired. So whether that be your physical fitness level, the way that you present yourself, interpersonal relationships, are you a friendly person? Do you treat people with kindness and love and make them feel good about themselves? And also, too, in your lifestyle, are you a responsible individual? Do you live within your means as far as a budget goes? Do you try to stay out of debt? Try to be financially and fiscally responsible? So there's things that you can do in your life and your personal life that will help you inspire other people. But also, too, in just having a positive attitude towards other people, you can inspire them, having confidence. And when you remember the first mindset, ABCO is being calm, well, just right there alone, you're going to give off an air of stability and somebody that's solid in their convictions, solid in their mindset, and it will help people be inspired when times get tough. Also, motivation. Inspire and motivate. First, you have to live the life yourself to set an example for people. It's hard to encourage other people to get in shape or be prepared if you aren't making regular progress in these areas. In order to motivate others, you need to be somebody who lives that life yourself. Another verse from the Bible that's really helpful in this situation is Philippians 2, 3 and 4. It talks about putting others' needs before your own. Doing so is encouraging to them, and your action encourages others to action. So when you're part of a group, part of a neighborhood group, part of a mutual assistance group, or even at your church, to be able to be somebody who's motivating to others, putting their needs before your own, and setting an example for them and how you live can help those people get better prepared on their own. And finally, support. You want to be someone who is always looking to help should there be a time of need. I see often where there's an event, whether they be at our church or with our team group, and there's people that do a lot of work, and then there's people that kind of sit around and watch or sit and chat when there's cleanup to be done. At the fire department, if anybody's working, whether that be cleaning, mopping the floors, doing dishes, if anyone works, then everyone's working. And that's one thing that I really enjoy about that being part of the fire service, is that people work hard and support each other. You want to be someone who's always looking to step up and help should there be something to do. Everyone has some kind of a skill where they're better than others. Are you an electrician? A plumber? Maybe you play music. Are you good at woodworking? Any of these can be utilized to support your family, community, or your team. If you're a good musician, why not offer some guitar lessons to some of the kids in your group? Good at woodworking. We have a guy on our team who's a good woodworker, and one of the other guys has a daughter who has a disability, and she needed a special chair built. Well, his buddy got his carpenter equipment out and built a special chair that would have cost them over $1,000 to buy online, and he was able to build that using his woodworking tools. So by using his skills and abilities, he was able to support someone else on his team. And I tell you what, when times are down, do you think that guy's going to remember how his friend helped him? You bet he will. That's a little bit on leadership. Inspire, motivate, and support others will go a long way with you of being able to be a leader when times get tough. And number three of our secret nuggets of winning the mental game and preparedness, and this one also is involving leadership a little bit. This involves being involved with a team or a tribe, a community of preparedness, and could be involved in other things in life as well. But it's the term lead, follow, or get out of the way. I know many of you have heard this one, and I think it's a good one to go over a little bit. Lead. If no one else is doing the work, step up. We've talked about leadership on this show a lot. We've talked about how you can form a tribe or a group to help yourself be better prepared and to enjoy life, especially during preparedness and the good times. You like to enjoy life, enjoy the families and friends, but also be ready for when times get tough. So stepping up and leading when it needs to be done is important. If you look around and see something that needs to happen, don't wait for somebody else to do it. And it's not hard to lead. Sometimes you just have to see, hey, what are the needs? Is anybody working on a comms plan for our group? Nobody is? Well, maybe I'll take that task on. How about medical? Has somebody prepared a medical first aid program or kit or a training plan for your group? If they haven't, maybe that's something you can do. In your neighborhood, is there a neighborhood watch or a block watch program already going? If there's not, why don't you start one up? Sometimes people think, oh, I couldn't do that. I'm not very smart. I don't know. But if nobody's doing it and you step up, guess what? People will appreciate that. It doesn't take much. Nowadays, with YouTube and the internet, you can learn to do just about anything. When it's time to lead, lead. But it's not always time to lead. Sometimes there are somebody else doing the work. There is a group already in existence, and you're joining that group or being a part. Be a good follower. Nobody likes a glory hound, and so sometimes it's better just to sit back and be the worker, be the person who's helping get things done, but you might not be in the spotlight. Think about, do you want to be in charge, or are you truly the best one to lead in this particular moment? Sometimes if you're sticking in a leadership position and there might be somebody else that needs to be raised up that might be better at that or might need to learn leadership, you could be a mentor to that person. Raising up leaders is critical. If you stay in the lead role, you may be preventing someone else from stepping up. Your support of an upcoming leader could be helpful in their success and growth. And mentors are important for young leaders. We need good mentors, people that have been there and done that, that can take new leaders by the hand and guide them as they're learning to step up. We need the next generation to come and help save this country. And then, whether you're going to lead, whether you're going to follow, Maybe you don't want to follow the guy who's leading, but you're not able to lead yourself. Well, sometimes it's better just to get out of the way. Sometimes the situation is such where you're not the right person to lead, yet you have a problem with the other options. I've always thought there are three options when a problem arises. You can live with it, you can try to fix it, or you can move away from the situation. By trying to live in an environment where there is a leadership conflict, you will ultimately end up frustrated and waste a lot of time. If you think about it, back in 4,000 years ago, this is the place where Lot found himself when the city of Sodom had turned to depravity. He supposedly had a leadership position in that city. It said that he would be found sitting at the city gate, which is where the leaders of the city sat. But his influence wasn't doing much to help the situation. You know the story. So sometimes it's better for people to leave. And I know a lot of people have thought about that in areas where the political climate and the decisions being made by so-called leaders in government are against freedom, against the Constitution, and against the rights that we have, the God-given rights that we have. And so you see a big movement of people away from areas that are hindering and limiting freedom and moving to other areas where they are more free to live out their time. The American Redoubt, the Appalachians, there's lots of areas where people are consolidating with other liberty-minded, like-minded people. And so that's definitely could be an option down the road if we're unable to come to political solutions in the areas where we're at. Moving out of those areas to a area of like-minded people might be the solution. But a lot of times that's hard to do. So then we need to decide, are we going to lead or are we going to follow? Another nugget I'd like to share with you, and this is a bonus. We've talked about the three secrets to winning the mental game of preparedness. Always be calm, ABC. IMS, inspire, motivate, and support. And also lead, follow, or get out of the way. But there's one more nugget I couldn't pass up. This is one my dad always would share with me when I was a kid. Dad, I wish I had an ice cream cone. And he would say, son, if wishes were horses, then beggars would ride. I want to thank the Bald Eagle Senior for this one. And my kids know it quite well. How many of you have said, I wish I would have bought Bitcoin, or I wish I was taller, or whatever? We need to not waste time worrying about things we can't control. You can achieve whatever you put your mind to. Don't sit there wishing that something else would be different. You need to take action. I remember standing on top of a 78 megawatt nuclear reactor when I was 21 years old thinking, gosh, if the guys from high school could see me now. There's a lot of people that blame fate or bad decisions or blame the man for their problems. But with training, with drive, with desire, you can accomplish things that you want to in your life. You just have to step up and make the decision that you're going to do it. The sooner you, me, we stop thinking about what might have been and start dealing with the things as they are, the faster we can achieve our goals. There are so many opportunities available to us today. Get after it. Gain knowledge, skills, and attitude. That's the motto of the NRA firearms training, is teaching you the knowledge, skills, and attitude to safely handle firearms. So much knowledge is available on YouTube. It's like YouTube University. You can look up how to put on a tourniquet, how to program a Baofeng radio. There's tons of information out there, especially for the preparedness community. The internet is a wealth of information. And writing books has never been easier. If you yourself have information that you'd like to share with people, you can write a book. Any topic that you have information on, that can be something you write about. Because if you have some information on something, then there's probably somebody out there that wants to know that. So there's tons of things that you can do to step up and help others. One recommendation that I have as a tool for developing self-discipline and motivation in your life is the program 75 Hard. We've talked about it a little bit on the show. I recently finished it, and just in time before my knee surgery, so now I'm I'm moving a little slower here, and so I'm going to have to start that back up again once I've recovered. My wife is currently crushing the one-year Live Hard program. She's 5-6 months into it. I'm not sure exactly how far in, but she's doing really well. The 75 Hard is a framework to facilitate growth in your life. If you haven't heard of it, it's Andy Frisella is the one who developed the program. And I believe it's episode 208 of his podcast. He goes through the whole thing. You don't have to pay for it. He does have a book that he puts out, and he has an app that you can buy that's relatively inexpensive. But there's no fees or charges on this. You can go to his podcast and listen to it. He'll tell you all about it. One thing that I never realized was how many excuses that I made. And the 75 Hard program helps you eliminate excuses in your life. I would always think about, oh, why I'm not working out today. Is it between 68 and 72 degrees? Oh, do I have the proper shoes to work out? Oh, I just took a shower. I don't want to get sweaty. Oh, it's starting to drizzle a little bit outside. Oh, it's a little too hot outside. There's so many excuses of why I wouldn't work out. But after doing the 75 Hard program, you start to realize that excuses are baloney, and that if you set your mind to something and make it a commitment, make it a disciplined habit in your life, that it makes things so much better. It helps you to build consistency in your life. So I hope you've all learned a few things today. Summarizing today's podcast, giving you three secrets to winning the mental game of preparedness as we look in the news, see events around us that suggest things might not be so rosy in the near future. ABC, always be calm. IMS, inspire, motivate, and support. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. Three bits of advice that can help you in your preparedness journey. And remember, if wishes were horses, then beggars would ride. Thanks, Bald Eagle Senior. I hope you guys have learned a little bit from this podcast. We've got some great guests coming on soon, and we're excited for the rest of this week. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy your gardens. The Bald Eagle is out. United we stand.